Yak Radio with Dave Stahl is brought to you by Love Radio Network.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back.
Radio, the radio show that's about, well,
intro.
Who knows? It's a different topic every week, but Yak Radio is always full of information to help you and your family get through life. Now, here's your Yak Radio host, Dave Stahl.
Don't talk back.
Who put that intro song in there? Was that you, Anna? Yakety yak. Well, it's called Yak Radio at Dave Stahl. Well, I figure what the heck. We're all just sitting down here yakking. Hey, but before I get to our guest, Midnight Oil Motors. Boy, I'll tell you what. You got a car that needs to get tuned up and you want somebody you can trust? Midnight Oil Motors. That's right. Go to SethSpec.com. Make an appointment. Tell them you heard it right here on radio. Also, scratches, dings, and dents. Bumper Dock, Kearney Mesa. Let me tell you what, Kearney Mesa, BumperDock.com will take care of all your minor dings, dents, body damage, you name it. Great bunch of folks. Take a run up there. Go to www.KearneyMesaBumperDock.com or call them at 858-252-7890. Tell them you heard it right here on KCBQ. Well, I've got a really, really special, two special guests in the house. And it was interesting. I donated an hour to the San Diego or the Alpine School District for their annual fundraiser. And which one of you two bid on it? And that would be Dr. Lisa Campbell. And I'm so happy you did that, because when she did this, what the deal was, I don't know if you knew you were getting an hour or you were just going to come on as kind of co-host.
No, I was just happy to come for a few minutes.
You didn't even know that you were going to get stuck with an hour. But I got a sneaky feeling with the topic that you're bringing to the table will truly fill the hour. Not only do you have a very interesting topic, but you also have a person that's experiencing the topic. And the topic today is?
It's PTSD.
Right. And what is PTSD?
You know, PTSD, Dave, is a really normal set.
Yeah, get a little closer.
A really normal set of reactions to very abnormal situations.
Okay. Like if you get scared really bad, maybe? No?
Well, yeah, I mean, yes. So, I mean, if people are wondering what it feels like to have PTSD, that feeling that you get when you are really scared, that gives you a little tiny taste of what it's like to have PTSD.
Oh, so when you say a little tiny taste, I guess, Carrie?
That's right.
It's not as tiny as we think?
It's not as tiny as you think.
So is it like anxiety, you know, like when you but 10 times worse?
It can be. Anxiety is one of the symptoms that's very common for people with PTSD, but there are a whole host of symptoms.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you only had one symptom, it would be something that you could live with.
Yeah.
That would be manageable. But
yeah.
Because there are so many and they are always changing and, you know, sometimes they're stronger
right.
or weaker, it's just something you never feel like you really have a good grasp on.
So Lisa, since you're the doctor, and I see you have a book, right?
Yeah.
Which is a pretty thick book, I mean, for PTSD. So there's a lot of information within that. Now, is PTSD hereditary? Do you eat a walnut wrong and you get it? I mean, how do you get PTSD?
No, Dave. So really what happens is, humans, we all come with a fight or flight or freeze response designed to help us deal with normal threats and dangerous situations.
Gotcha.
And that system can become damaged with very extreme stress, like a car accident, the kind of trauma first responders or military personnel experience, interpersonal trauma survivors, domestic violence, abuse. That kind of extreme or chronic stress can result in a damage to that normal system.
Okay, so let's just say you see a terrible accident and a child passes away and it's really damaged bad due to the accident. That would, say, trigger a PTSD.
It could. It doesn't for everybody, you know, and that's the difficult part to really understand and predict. And I think particularly for people who work in professions where they don't expect, where trauma is part of what they expect
right.
to experience, first responders, military personnel, they really think that they should be trained to know how to deal with those kinds of things.
But how do you train them if you don't know if they're going to get it?
Well, you just, you really don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't know until you're there. And I mean, like for Carrie, I think you went through a trauma and you didn't expect to develop PTSD.
And did you know after this trauma, and we don't have to talk about your trauma because
I'm perfectly open to talk about
what was the trauma that did that to
you? So 3 years ago, I woke my son up for school and he told me that his stepfather had molested him overnight. So we fled our house. We went to the police.
Oh, wow.
Clearly, I'm not married to this man anymore.
Totally.
He is in prison.
Right.
And he wasn't in prison for a while, for over a year. And throughout that entire year, I was just afraid that he was going to come.
And yeah.
And I guess what I'd really like everyone to understand is that PTSD is a fear response. That is basically what it is at its core.
So you were constantly just scared to death that he was going to come in the door.
Yes.
Or you're going to see him at a grocery store.
Exactly.
Or you couldn't, if you pulled up to an intersection, he could either walk in front of you or.
So it was that uncertainty. Yes.
Man. Okay, so how are you dealing with that?
Well, I actually have been treated for PTSD. I successfully completed prolonged exposure therapy last year.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, funny enough, working on this book with Dr. Campbell, I feel like it was my second therapy session.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just really getting to all of those parts I didn't get to deal with during my professional therapy
right.
session.
So what does she mean by that? What did she not get in the therapy that she got from you?
That's a great question. You know, and so the way this came about, Carrie and I are lifelong friends.
Oh, okay.
So,
that helps.
Yeah, that helps.
That helps.
Well, it really doesn't. I mean, that's the thing about trauma is, you know, I've spent my career working with people in trauma, and that still doesn't really prepare you for when it happens
right.
close to home. So, you know, this is just my friend who's going through a trauma and us just kind of, you know, so sometimes.
Did you know she had PTSD when she was telling you about her situation or you didn't really know yet?
Well, that's a good question. Not right away, you know, because the thing is the kinds of things that come with PTSD are perfectly normal responses to trauma. So, you know, right after something happens, not being able to think about anything else, feeling scared, feeling on edge, not being able to sleep, not trusting anybody. That's a very normal response.
Right.
And so she was doing all of those things, which, I mean, part of it is I'm just her friend and I'm just, which is a little bit different than being someone's therapist, which is kind of the fun thing here
sure.
is being able to talk about it in some different ways
right.
than I normally do. But so I'm just her friend and I'm talking to her, but then, I mean, there are all the things that you expect, but then they weren't getting better over time.
Well, see, I always thought, you know, PTSD, this is going to be terrible, and don't send me any texts because I didn't know. I thought PTSD was only military associated.
This is very common.
Yeah.
It is one of the biggest misconceptions. People think military members or first responders.
They're the only ones.
But there are a whole host of ways that you can be traumatized, and any of those can lead to PTSD.
It's so funny, too, because, you know, you talk about a car accident. I've been in more car accidents and it didn't bother me a bit. I just got out, walked away.
Well, and
so
sometimes.
So I'm not one of the people that probably would be affected by PTSD. Then if car wrecks or car accidents or rolling a vehicle has anything to do with it.
Absolutely. A car wreck can.
I've had people just literally freak out.
Well, yes. And even that doesn't mean you're going to go on to develop PTSD. So you can have a really big fear response.
And then get over it.
And heal up all the time that happens.
Now, when you say heal up, does it do any damage, say, to the brain, that massive, you know, experience that really puts you kind of over the edge? I mean, is there damage done? And if so, can it be healed?
That's a very educated question.
See, you didn't think I knew
nothing.
I know.
Nothing. I'm really impressed.
No, it's because I don't know. And that's why how my head works, because I want to know as much about it as I can. So that, let's say, if something was to happen, I would recognize a symptom.
Mm-hmm. Actually, here in San Diego, we do a lot of research on PTSD because there is a really big military population.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a strong university.
So it kind of started with the military, and then you guys realized, wait a minute, girls like Lisa, she ran...
Men, women, children.
Any age.
There, it doesn't discriminate.
Wow.
And so, to answer your question about the brain, what we have found by studying and researching is that there is a structure in the brain, the amygdala, that actually, if you look at it on imaging, it actually changes from trauma. And that's the fear response center. And so when that area gets damaged, you get too much fight or flight, or it's triggered by something that should be a safe situation, mm-hmm. or it feels like it's on a little bit all the time. You know that.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but I kind of look at it as kind of like a bruise. you get a bruise in your arm and it hurts like crazy. Then after a while with therapy or medication, it goes away.
That would be the normal healing process, but it doesn't always
work. Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. All right, we're going to take a quick break, only because I got to pay the bills. You're listening to Yak Radio with Dave Saul with Carrie and Lisa. We got so much more to talk about with PTSD. And if you have a question, you can text me at 760-715-5507, because we're not turning on the phone lines. No. This is way too important. Stay tuned. FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. Folks, welcome back. Yak Radio with Dave Stahl. It's a new show. Just thought I'd put it out. And the reason I do it is just so I can talk to anybody and everybody I want. But there are advertisers. John's Automotive Care over at 6267 Riverdale Street in San Diego. John's San Diego AutoRepair.com. I'm telling you, Napa Auto Care, AAA, ASC certified. Just an amazing shop. He's got another one, too, which will come up in the next commercial. But right now, when you need automotive repair, go take a run over to John's Automotive Care. That's John's Auto or John's San Diego AutoRepair.com. All right. Hey, we're talking with Kara Kermuth and Dr. Lisa Campbell on the subject of PTSD. It's Carrie.
Carrie
was involved. It got PTSD in a rather unusual way, one that you wouldn't think of. And it was a very personal traumatic experience where she found out that her son was being molested by her dad, or the boy's dad.
Stepfather. Yes.
Which, that in my mind just goes gaga. I don't know how you could even deal with something like that. I'm surprised you didn't shoot him. But hey, we did have a gun show up next year. So we were talking about symptoms, and you know, it'd be nice if you got PTSD and turned blue.
Right.
Then we know you got PTSD, but that's not the case.
That's not the case.
So when you went through, well, you didn't even think about PTSD when you found this situation out with your son.
No.
That's the farthest thing from your mind.
Of course. My initial reaction was just to make us safe.
Yeah.
You know, get us out.
Get out of Dodge as quick as possible. So when did you feel that this was something you needed to look a little deeper into?
Well, certainly in those first few days afterwards, I knew that I was having a lot of trouble sleeping, and I felt like I was continuously over-caffeinated, like I'd had way too many cups of coffee all the time.
Okay.
So that lasted about 3 days where I just shook like I had too much coffee. Mm-hmm. And ultimately those things, you know, kind of subsided for a while. I had a lot of things I had to do. And mm-hmm. so once I got to the place that I, you know, was able to relax again because I didn't need to take care of immediate needs. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's when I started noticing that some of these symptoms weren't going away. Mm. And over the course of several months, I questioned, you know, do I need to get help for this or not? But the thing with PTSD is that it can come and go a little. It's not there all the time for every person. So I would feel as if I was progressing and feeling more like myself. And then something would happen.
Something would trigger it.
Exactly.
And it could be what?
For me, it's many different things. And they're not all related to what actually happened. So I have a very overactive startle response now. And even things like my dog barking unexpectedly could cause me to startle.
Or a backfired car.
Yes.
I see.
But it could be other things too, like just thinking about what happened could then trigger some of the physical symptoms, mm-hmm. the physiological things, mm-hmm. like a rapid heart rate or feeling over caffeinated again, even right. if I'd had none. So it's a whole host of things. Wow. Anniversary dates, like when I think about the date that this occurred.
Yeah.
It's something that for weeks ahead of time, I start preparing myself.
Or if you see something on TV or radio with all the problems with the Catholic Church.
Definitely.
I mean, I'm sure those were just grenades going off.
Exactly.
I remember when the Me Too movement came out and all that talk about sexual trauma in the press.
Yeah,
was really challenging.
Shoot straight into the mic there. Yeah. Well, see, that's what my point is. And you as a doctor, I mean, I'm sure you got years and years and years. Well, you're not that old, but you got a few years under
a few years under your belt.
How do you, I mean, because like you said, no two symptoms are alike. No two people are alike. How did you work with her to realize that's what she had?
Well, I did. I mean, it wasn't, my job with her was to be her friend. I think.
So you weren't looking at her clinically?
No, although, you know, what I was really surprised about, you're talking about it would be helpful if you turned blue when it happened. And I just assumed that Carrie was talking to everybody in her life about her symptoms, because we probably, I don't know, had 500 phone conversations or something about what had happened.
Sure.
And so we were talking about when she had bad dreams. We were talking about when something would startle her in the middle of the night. She couldn't go back to sleep. Her worries about her son, feeling depressed, like she couldn't get out of bed. When she went to a work function and she had to ride in the car with a male coworker who she knew was safe. And so I thought she was talking to everybody like this. And then she said, well, nobody really asks me about what happened.
Wow. Well, but no offense, I was hesitant myself to find out what the trauma was that caused PTSD. You know, I mean, because, you know, I mean, we don't even know each other. I mean, except we're now best of buds now. But prior to you walking in the door, I mean, I'm not going to walk up to you and say, so why are you all messed up?
Exactly. You know? I think that once you know, once you have someone in your life that you know has gone through something very traumatic,
right,
ignoring it and pretending that it didn't happen is not the answer, because they are thinking about this thing 24 hours a day. And if you are able to let them know that you are a safe person to talk to, that, mm-hmm. that you're there to listen, it means the world of difference to that person.
So how hard is it? I mean, in your case, you were lucky because you got her.
Yes, she wasn't my therapist.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, how do you trust a therapist, a perfect stranger?
Well, I think you're getting at the heart of PTSD, which is PTSD is fundamentally disrupts your sense of how the world works.
Yeah.
What's safe, what's not safe, who you can trust, who you can't trust.
Well, yeah, and how many times do anybody share trauma with them? I mean, if I had a traumatic experience, there's a good chance I ain't telling anybody.
People don't.
Right.
People are embarrassed. And, you know, as a matter of fact, so we wrote this book about men particularly, and one of the reasons the publisher approached us about a book for men is, I mean, nobody's conditioned to talk about those kind of personal things, but I think particularly men, especially when it's about feelings.
No, we don't do that. Well, I do. I cry a lot too, but that's a good thing. So but women have the same thing. I mean, she's sitting right here.
Definitely.
But why did you use men as a topic over female?
Well, I was approached to write. I mean, nobody knew I had a friend who had been traumatized and was a writer and had just finished PTSD therapy. I was approached to write a book for male trauma survivors.
Gotcha.
Because I think it was viewed as an underserved part of that population. Yeah. And so.
And it's most of that's military, too. Let's face it. I mean, most men are in military than women. There's more men than women.
Well, I mean, yes, there are more men in the military. And but there's a whole lot of trauma in the military from not just combat, sadly.
No, I understand. But see, again, the author or the person, not the author, but the book person that told you to write it, was it a male or female?
Our editor was female.
Okay. Because, you know, you automatically think that men will have a bigger problem with this than, say, women.
Well, and, you know, and yes, even though men are disproportionately represented in populations, mm-hmm. Professional populations, actually women have higher prevalence rates for PTSD.
Right. Well, women truly believe, I mean, they've always been the rock, you know, of the family. You know, I mean, they're, you know, you're not supposed to, you know, get upset. You're not supposed to get sick. You know, I have to look to you, your mom or you're my wife. And, you know, you're the strength of the family, even though everybody looks to the men, you know, from a muscular point of view. But I think from a mental stability point of view, women kind of have that role.
I think nobody's real likely to want to talk about their trauma.
Right.
But women are somewhat more likely to seek help than men. So really, the basic treatment for PTSD doesn't differ between men and women, but this book was just made in a way to be accessible to men.
Right. So how do you treat PTSD?
Well, that's, you know, I work a lot with military folks. And so we have some really good, you know, you look at how far the treatment of PTSD has come in really a few years. I mean, there wasn't even a term PTSD until 1980.
Wow.
And so in that period of time, we've come a tremendous way, although there's still a long ways to go. We really offer a lot of what we call empirically supported treatments for PTSD. They're time limited, trauma focused, manualized treatment that you go through with a professional.
Gotcha.
And so we look at the behavioral and cognitive factors associated and help people heal and look at their thoughts and their behavior in new ways and try some new behavior. In this particular instance, we're looking at a way to treat trauma that's a little bit different. So we're taking a treatment that was originally developed for depression and we're using it and applying it for folks that want to work on trauma-related symptoms on their own.
Right. Now, you mentioned, I guess you did, a CAT scan? If you did a CAT scan on somebody, you can see that.
If you did brain imaging.
Yeah. Which you don't normally do for every patient, right?
Nope, we don't.
Why would you not? Because it's too cost effective?
Well, it wouldn't be cost effective. And I don't, what would it really add? I mean, I can.
Well, I'm just saying, if what part of your brain did you mention?
Amygdala.
Yeah, right. So if that little guy had swollen up, and you did a CAT scan and it was swollen or it was shrunk, would that not be another tool to the diagnosis?
It would be, but I could probably just have a conversation with you and ask you a few simple questions.
And that's because you're the professional. I mean, really. And don't you find the challenge to get that patient to really open up to you and trust you that you're going to really help them? Because, you know, they're living in a world that you and I don't understand.
Well, It's a scary place. And actually, one of the biggest challenges to help people is just getting them to walk through the door.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure a lot of people sat out in the parking lot for long periods of time. Well, you know, and gosh, that's why I love doing this hour, because I learn so much. And now I'm going to look at people differently. I mean, even within your own work environment, I mean, you see people that are having kind of unusual symptoms, or maybe they're not dealing with something really well. You know, maybe you can help them say, hey, maybe you need to look into this.
I think you, Carrie, have had that.
You know, honestly.
Because you're the one that had to go look for help, right?
Definitely. And she helped me see that it was finally time to do this. But what I've learned, one of the biggest lessons from all of my experience has been that you never know what is happening in someone else's life at any given moment. And they may be dealing with something so massive that is making them react in the ways that you think are strange.
Yeah. Got to dig into it.
You really do. And you have to, if they ever come to you and let you know, you have to let them understand that there are solutions, that they don't have to do this alone.
So you're going back to school to become a psychologist, right? Because I'm telling you, she's pretty good at because she's gone through it. And I think that makes for a good psychologist, don't you agree?
Are you kidding? She's excellent.
No, I wouldn't have known which one were you, which of you two were the doctors, to be real honest with you, because you've really worked this out in your head.
I've always been fascinated by how the brain works. Yeah. So maybe it's helped me in some ways through my recovery.
You know that photographic memory thing, how you can look at things?
Yeah.
I don't have any film. I cannot, that for some reason, my camera is blank. I don't know what the heck. I mean, if you told me to design something, there's nothing up there. It's just totally blank. But that's another story. That's me. I don't have PTSD. I'm too happy. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a whole lot more right here on Yak Radio on KCBQ AM 1170, FM 96.1, The Answer. Folks, hey, welcome back. Yak Radio with Dave Stahl. What a great show this has been. Hey, this segment's brought to you by John's Automotive Other Shop. He's got an import shop at 7447 University Avenue in lovely La Mesa. You need to go to John's with an S, San Diego, autorepair.com. Take a run in there with your import, and he will take care of it like nobody's business. AAA approved, Napa Auto Care, ASC certified, Master Techs. Hey, you can't get it done any better than with John's Automotive Import Repair at 7447 University Avenue. All right, we're sitting here chatting with Carrie Kermuth and Dr. Lisa Campbell, and we're talking about PTSD. The two got together and wrote a book, and we're going to talk about how you can get this book. It's kind of a workbook for men, but guys, ladies, wouldn't you think that would apply to females as well?
Definitely.
Yeah, so it doesn't, just because the men's on there.
The only difference is that we've used men as examples
right.
in the book, but
right.
the actual science behind it and right. the recovery is the same.
Is the same. Is medication part of the recovery?
It can be. There are, you know, there's only a little bit of information about medication in the book because obviously I'm a psychologist, so I focus on the cognitive and behavioral components to treatment.
Medication just masks the problem most of the time, I think.
Some of it masks. There are some tools there that can be helpful.
Yeah.
It really depends. I think if you are so anxious or so depressed that you're kind of paralyzed, it can be a little bit of a nudge in the right direction.
Gotcha. So 3 years ago, in 2 weeks is the anniversary. How are you dealing with the anniversary now than before?
Dave, that is a great question, and one I'm really happy to talk about. I don't even think I've talked about this with Lisa yet. During the past 2 years, it has been like something I just couldn't resist, and I just could feel it coming in my body. I was having a lot of symptoms all the time. This year, I'm really not feeling that, and I think it will probably come, but maybe not until right before it happens.
And what if it doesn't? Whoa, what a thought. Maybe the day goes by and you completely forget.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Because you don't, but you don't want to have it on the calendar. You don't want a great big arrow.
I certainly don't have it on the calendar. Yeah. It's just marked on my soul.
Right. Well, yeah, and that's okay because you don't want to forget it.
No. And you know, people have things like this in every lifetime. Everybody has something happen that's traumatic. So,
and by the way, folks, not that we want to belabor this, but the reason Carrie had this situation is she found out that her son was being molested by the stepdad, which triggered this whole thing. How old was your son?
He was 12.
Oh, that's even worse. So that's what we're talking about, which means, folks, that it's not military related. It's not, you know, having to go to a combat zone and get this disease, and then all of a sudden now you got PTSD. No, that's not it. As Lisa was mentioned, anything could cause it. Any kind of a trauma.
So, again, sexual trauma, interpersonal violence. There's a lot of different things that can.
Yep, just shut the door because the guys are out there chatting. I'm sure you think about it, but how do you go through your every day? I mean, do you have to do anything any different?
I really don't. At this point, I'm feeling really good.
Uh-huh.
I'm feeling like my old self, basically. And I just have to keep in mind that if I am triggered, I think probably for the rest of my life, there's the chance mm-hmm. that I'll be triggered by something.
Right.
And at this point, it's something I'm not going to really expect. The mm-hmm. things that I know trigger me, I can prepare for.
Gotcha.
It's the things that I'm not seeing coming that are a challenge.
Right.
So
you don't dwell on it, I'm sure.
No.
You may have in the beginning.
You know, it actually wasn't a choice. One of the biggest symptoms for PTSD is intrusive memories or thoughts. And I like to say that intrusive comes from the same word as intruder.
Mm.
You don't invite them in. You don't ask them to stay, and you can't always get them to leave.
Yeah.
So it really wasn't a choice. But at this point, I've learned some tricks that help me get rid of them
when
they try to knock on my door.
Exactly. And that's probably, Lisa, wouldn't you agree that's a good way to look at it?
Well, yes. I think one of the most important things Carrie has done, and is what we try to get people to be able to do, is just to keep living her life. So Carrie's taken on a bunch of things. She's gotten a new job. She's gone on a big trip. She's written a book. Mm-hmm. She's put herself out there in a bunch of ways. And so she gets triggered sometimes, and she'll tell me, or feels apprehensive about new things, but she doesn't let that stop her. She just keeps going and moving forward. So it's not about waiting for the fear to go away to start doing the things you want to be doing. It's about jumping right in there and doing it even with the anxiety.
And dealing with it. as it comes to you.
Yeah.
Because you found out after how many years? It's not going to kill you.
No, it's not going to kill me.
It's going to make you crazy maybe every once in a while, but it's not going to kill you.
Exactly.
And as long as you know that it's not going to kill you, then I'm sure your body and your brain says, okay, now I'm going to fight it.
Right.
I'm not going to be a victim. I'm going to be a fighter.
Exactly.
So when that little guy comes in and knocks on the door, no. You're not invited.
Right.
Wow.
Well, we know nothing's going to stay forever. So nobody ever stayed anxious forever or stayed sad forever.
Right. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, in the beginning, it was on your mind every single day.
It wasn't every single day. It was every single minute.
How about now?
Day.
Do you think about it? I mean,
I think about it every day.
But it's not every single minute.
No.
And would you say it's kind of, you know?
Definitely. There has been a decrease, you know, every month since this occurred.
Yeah. Well, when did your therapy stop?
In March of last year.
Of last year. Okay. So you've gone a whole year.
Yes.
Without therapy. Well, except for Smiley.
Except
here.
For her. I know.
Not therapy.
I'm so thankful.
And friendship is just as good as therapy, really.
Especially when your friend is a therapist.
Yeah. Or even somebody that truly cares and takes your best interest at heart.
Right. I don't know that it's not a substitute for all
therapy. No.
But, you know, we were talking about the kinds of things that loved ones can do to help. And so really, I think people are afraid to ask because they don't feel like you said, like they don't know what to do or how to respond.
Right.
But there's a lot to be said for just being willing to listen, which is really all that I offered Carrie, which I was just a year.
And I would say that a big part of my recovery and my fast ability to get to this point has been the support that I've had.
Right.
And a lot of people don't have that support.
Right. Because they won't tell anybody.
But even so, you know, they might not be believed.
Well, yeah.
Or I mean, there are many different things that can happen.
I'll give you a good one is migraines. Okay. For a guy that's never had a migraine in his life. Back in the day, I used to think, they're fake. They're not, you know, you don't have a migraine. You just don't want to go to work or you got sympathy, you know. Now, you know, as the oldest, I mean, that's the farthest thing from the truth.
Right.
And I think people think about that possibly for PTSD. That, she just doesn't want to go to work tomorrow or she doesn't want to deal with something. Then she's just using that as an excuse. Because if you haven't experienced it, it's hard to accept it.
It's really hard to imagine if you haven't been there. And I think that's what keeps people from saying a lot. They fear not being understood, not being believed, or if people haven't had a similar experience that they won't or couldn't understand.
Or they're admitting that they're broken.
Yeah, especially
for men. Who wants to admit that they're
people
broken?
People in general, but men have a really hard time.
Oh, we don't like that.
Having an emotional problem is hard for everybody.
Yeah.
There's an idea that people with PTSD are just weaker than the people who suffer traumas and don't develop PTSD.
Right.
I can tell you this is certainly not true.
Yeah, I totally 100% agree with you on that. I mean, I was in the military, and for some reason, I could deal with stuff that I knew some of the other guys couldn't deal with it. I mean, just literally coming apart at the seams, freaking out. But like you said, there's no two people alike, and PTSD probably affects people differently than the next person.
Trauma impacts people differently.
Yeah.
So some people go on to develop symptoms and some people don't. You know, sometimes people will experience several traumas. So don't think you're totally out of the woods, Dave, because sometimes you have a trauma and you heal and you have a trauma and you heal and then, you know, something happens. And it can really catch you by surprise then.
So is a person with PTSD constantly in therapy? Or
that's not the idea. The hope, what we're hoping is that people...
To wean them away and...
Well, that people will get better and feel better and be able to go back to living full lives again.
Which you have done.
And my therapy was about 4 months. That's the only time I spent in therapy. And the specific type that I completed, it was meant to be. A set period of time, 3 to 4 months.
So let me ask you this, since you didn't rely on your buddy over here, how did you find the right therapist?
So I did ask my buddy for some advice.
Come on.
But I knew that.
But then
let's say you didn't know her. What would you have done?
You know, I would have looked online for some therapists and seen what they were saying.
Go to Facebook. Everything's true on Facebook.
No. So can I actually say the name of a website?
Absolutely.
So Psychology Today is where I found my therapist.
Okay.
And I looked for someone who worked with trauma patients, first of all. Mm-hmm. And I was specifically looking for prolonged exposure because my buddy said,
yeah,
you would be a perfect fit for prolonged exposure therapy.
Were you looking for a female or a male, or did you care?
I actually didn't care because I knew, based on what happened in my life and this trust issue that I knew I was going to be dealing with probably forever with men in my life, I thought it might be a good idea if I actually had to trust a male therapist.
Right.
But the person I found was a female.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually suggested that she be open about some of those things, like male, female, what kind of professional credentials, but that she look for someone who's a specialist in trauma.
Right.
And that someone who had some experience with trauma-focused treatments, who really knows, is an expert in those.
And I'm sure did you pick the first one you picked, or did you go through a few?
I got really lucky. The first one I picked was a perfect match for me.
Wow.
We just hit it off right away.
Yeah.
And I would say that when I give people advice about this, I always tell them, don't give up. Just keep looking until you find the right match for you.
He or she is out there.
Definitely.
Just like a date.
Exactly.
A dating game. Yeah, yeah, a little bit. FarmersOnly.com. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Yak Radio with Dave Stahl right here on FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. Don't go anywhere. 15 minutes close. You're going to love it. We're going to tell you how to get the book. All right, folks. Welcome to Yak Radio, Dave Stahl. Just doing an unbelievable show today. Everything about PTSD. We've got Carrie Kermuth. She is actually, she had suffered with PTSD. And her very dear friend, Dr. Lisa Campbell, clinical psychologist? I made that up. I was guessing. Hey, Slick, you got to turn Lisa on. Did you get Lisa's mic on?
Is it on?
Yeah, there it is. So, clinical psychologist. So, how long have you been practicing?
About 16 years.
Oh, God, you don't look old enough to be 16 years. Let me tell you. That's amazing. So, you two guys wrote a book. Have you ever written a book before, Carrie?
Not a published book.
She's the writer in this duo.
Oh, I see. You're the brain. She's the writer.
No.
Yeah. I'm joking. All right. So, tell us about the book. It doesn't look that big, which is good because, you know, it looks like it's easy reading.
Right. So this is a book. It's Behavioral Activation for PTSD. So it's really a book designed, first of all, in the beginning chapters, just to get an idea of what kind of symptoms someone might be experiencing in the aftermath of trauma.
Gotcha.
So just a review, which can be really helpful for a trauma survivor or a family or friend, loved one, who's just trying to understand some changes they might be noticing. And then we go through some different domains, so work and home and relationships for people to assess like what might have been changed in their life since they had a trauma, and to see some areas where they might have given up some activities that were really giving their life meaning and value. And then a strategy for getting active again. So this is a great book for people who are either maybe just thinking about whether or not they're having symptoms, kind of at the stage where Carrie was, where she was wondering what was going on, trying to understand what's going on, but maybe not quite ready to do a full trauma-focused treatment yet. Or if they've done a full course of trauma-focused treatment and they're still finding that they're having a hard time getting back out there.
Right. Now, crazy question, but is this normally what you went through? Is that covered under your insurance by chance?
Fortunately, it was covered under my insurance. Yeah. I just had a $20 copay.
Okay, because, you know, in some situations, it may not, depending on your coverage.
Right, depending on what you have.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And talking to the doctor, you don't need to give numbers, but could it be, if you didn't have any coverage, could it be an expensive process?
Well, absolutely.
Okay. So that's a big question you need to ask, and if it turns out it's not covered, what would be an alternative?
Well, I mean, you could certainly start with a book.
Yeah. You know, if you read the book, it's almost like talking to you.
And it's a workbook. So it helps you figure things out. We go step by step to kind of lead you through the process.
Okay. Got any pictures in it? I couldn't help myself.
No pictures.
Oh, my gosh. That looks like a thick book.
The other thing is, you know, we live in San Diego where there's really great resources available.
Sure.
But people live in parts of the country where there isn't really good therapy available. And so for somebody who doesn't have ready access, it's a great resource.
Right. So how do people get the book?
Amazon.
Should have known that. Prime. They'll drop it with a what do you call those little airplanes?
A drone will bring it over quick.
So what's the price of that rascal?
It changes all the time, like everything on Amazon does. Last week it was about $16.
Well, that's kind of inexpensive for all this hard work and all the stress you went through. But, you know, $16, that's a good deal.
It's a great deal.
That's a screaming deal.
It's a great deal if it's an area of struggle.
I was going to say, for $16, that if somebody could read that, you know, with a clear mind and take the advice as is given, wow,
as a starting place for understanding yourself or someone you love.
And what's it called again?
Behavioral Activation for PTSD, a Workbook for Men.
And I bet if you Googled or, you know, looked it up, you know, PTSD for men, you would pop right up. Yeah, because they're not going to remember all that other stuff. But I mean, it's a great title though. So, okay, you got about 9 minutes. I'm going to let you, Doc, since you're the doctor, you went to college and spent all that money. What message would you like to give to the listeners?
That if you've had a trauma and some time has passed, if you've gone more than 2 or 3 months and your symptoms aren't getting better or maybe getting worse, that's the kind of time where you might want to think about looking for some resources. Maybe start by reading and seeing if you notice anything that sounds familiar. If you're having a hard time sleeping, having nightmares, feeling angry or irritable, on edge, jumpy to loud noises, having a hard time trusting, isolating yourself, feeling depressed, and starting to avoid things. So one of the big things with PTSD, avoiding people, places, things, sights, sounds, smells, maybe feeling numb or like you
giving
don't feel.
Up.
Can be.
Much as you hate to say it. Now, did we hit pretty close?
I think so.
Yeah. I think the giving up would be a dead giveaway. Because if you're not that type of person, you know, you look at a glass of water and it's half full. Maybe there's a daisy in it. Now, all of a sudden, it's half full and a bird pooped in it.
Well, Carrie is, I mean, I've known her my whole life.
Yeah.
And she's a person who's out there and doing things. And, you know, as time went on and she said, you know, it's all I can do to get up in the morning, get out of bed and get my kid to school. And that wasn't like her.
Yeah.
We both knew that.
Yeah. How's your boy doing?
He's doing really well.
Has he gone through therapy
as well? He did not ever develop PTSD.
Good.
He has had therapy and he might have to have therapy again later in life.
Now he realizes it's not him.
Oh, he realized from the beginning that it wasn't.
Okay, well,
he did absolutely everything right from minute one.
Mom did a good job.
Well, thank you.
No, seriously. I mean, I'm serious.
Oh, man. Mom did an excellent job. And I
because you could have just freaked out and everybody would have freaked
out. She was, you know, and again, you know, we talked about looking like a wreck on the outside. She never looked like a wreck on the outside. Yeah. I think she felt like one on the inside. But, you know, she's done the most important things. And she's checked in with me sometimes about, like, am I doing the right thing? But what she did was she listened. And so she listened and she, I think, made it okay for him to have whatever it is he had.
And you could probably do that with your therapist today. If for some reason you were having an episode.
Definitely.
You could call that therapist tonight on your way home and say, hey, I just want to let you know. Here's what's going on.
And that was something that she talked to me about before we completed our last session was if you ever feel, you know, if your anniversary is coming up and you're having trouble.
Call me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's because psychologists care a lot for people. And I think it's just that's the extension. I mean, it's not that, okay, not that you guys are friends. Say you weren't friends. Okay, you're well. Have a nice day. Let's move on to the next patient. I don't think you ever do that. Have you ever just walked away from any of your patients?
Well, I mean, it's always a mixed thing. You know, you want to see them get better.
Right.
But you really get to know them. And so it's this bittersweet parting at the end where you're really happy to see them feeling better.
Yeah.
But you end up, you know, it's one of the few relationships where it's a total success when they don't need you anymore. Yeah,
but it's nice when they call you up and say, hey, let's go to lunch.
Well, they can't do that, but it is really nice.
Yes, you can. Come on, let's go to lunch.
We don't go to lunch.
And not talk about any problems.
You know what? We don't go to lunch, but people call me and they tell me things like they're going to their kids' ball games. They're able to take their wife or their partner out on a date. They've gone back to school or got a new job. And that is so rewarding.
Well, that's because they're proud of the fact that they're able to do it. And who would be the best person to brag to about it but the person that helped him to that level?
The first person to cheer is the person who knows kind of just how tough things were at a certain point. Because there are people who, you know, the uncomfortable thoughts and feelings that come with PTSD make it really hard to even do the most regular things in life. And I've seen people who are trying to use their whole one-bedroom apartment. So when they call me up and they say they've, you know, joined a bowling league and they are, you know, and they're able to grocery shop, you know, not
at 2 in
the morning.
Better friends? Not that that probably could be.
You know, we've been really good friends for a long time, but I would say writing the book together showed us just how great of friends we are. It was a really fantastic experience.
How long did it take you to write it?
It was a hard, fast 3 months. And I will tell you,
3 months.
I have never been so thankful to have such a capable friend. I mean, I loved her as my friend. I didn't realize how much she would make this a fun process.
Well, that's what it's all about, right? Having fun with it.
Yes.
And you look fat. But again, you could be having an episode right now. We're not going to know it.
Probably not.
Yeah, because you're not going to let that little mouse out.
No.
I know how that is. But that's part of it, you know?
And really, I'm feeling great.
Yeah.
I really feel like myself
wonderful.
Again.
I didn't get to see you before. You did. So you probably see a definite.
You know what? We mostly talk on the phone because she lives out of the area, but I hear a difference. I hear a difference, and I hear the things she's doing with her life.
Right.
And I know she's back out there.
Yeah. That is such a great thing. Well, folks, you definitely got to check out this book. Even if nothing else, you give it to somebody in the family as a gift for Father's Day, Mother's Day. Just have it at the house. Maybe when something does crop up, I know it's terrible. I'm a car guy. I look at it as an owner's manual to the body. For the brain. When all of a sudden, you know, you're overheating, what do? I get the book out and I find out, the thermostat's stuck. That's probably, let me go check the thermostat. This, you can do it actually within your own family. And who knows? The whole family could benefit
from
this
book. Well,
the
brain is a little bit like the car.
Yes, it is.
You can't just, you know, you don't just go to the shop one time and get fixed. You expect to do a little bit of maintenance as you go along.
Got a website?
DrLisaCampbell.com.
You got a website?
I do.
Do we need it? Probably not. You think?
You've got hers. Hers is easier to remember than mine is.
Yeah, yours is called that big long word. All right. Well, hey, thanks. I can't thank you two enough.
Thank you.
For coming in.
Thank
You're
you,
always
Dave.
Welcome to come back. You know, if you have more news, more things to talk about. Folks, this is Yak Radio with Dave Stahl. We're going to hit the road. FM 96.1, AM 1170. And don't you go anywhere. Bob Siegel's coming up next right here on KCBQ.
Yak Radio with Dave Stahl is brought to you by Love Radio Network.